Hello, Lagos. Good afternoon. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. First hard fact of the day, 13. That's how many days left to audition to be our next winner in the I Beg to Differ debate tournament. We've had 3 winners so far, and you could be number 4. And all you need to do is debate 4 times. That's it. 4 debates, 1 million at the end of that road. The first step is to audition. Go to www.nigeriainfo.fm to find out how to audition. This is open to every single student in Lagos, whether you are in private school or public school or the school for the blind, whatever school you are going to as a 12 to 16 year old in Lagos, go to our website www.nigeriainfo.fm, audition. And if you're good enough, you could be part of the top 16 that battle it out here in August for a grand prize of 1 million naira. Second hard fact of the day. While the executive is honoring retired Chief Justice Tanko Muhammad, the legislature is probing him. Immediately Muhammad retired, President Buhari made him a Grand Commander of the Order of the Niger, GCON. A move, by the way, that Kingsley Moghalu has condemned. He says, "I don't understand why we'll confer such a high honor on a man whose time as Chief Justice of Nigeria has been characterized with a lot of controversy, which includes corruption." But now, Senate President Ahmed Lawan has ordered an investigation into Muhammad's running of the Supreme Court. Now, you know that the CJN retired on health grounds just days after all the other Supreme Court justices wrote a letter accusing him of diverting funds and mismanaging the court. You even had Olumide Akpata, the NBA president, saying that he found it suspect that at this time the Chief Justice of Nigeria was choosing to retire. Well, the retired Chief Justice was choosing to retire. But I will be updating you on that Senate investigation. It's very interesting, though, that the executive and legislature are taking such very different steps in the aftermath of Chief Justice Muhammad Tanko's retirement. We'll see how all of that goes. Now, if you're listening to this show for the very first time, Hard Facts for the very first time, welcome aboard. You have joined 1 million Lagosians who listen every day. And hey, 1 million Lagosians cannot be wrong. So thanks for tuning in. I have a great show for you, starting with the big three. Let's talk about the workers' strike in Ogun State. Then let's talk about Matawalle's response to critics of his plan to arm Zamfara people. And then let's talk about the House of Reps pressuring the UK government over Ike Kwaramado's trial. I hear that the Senate is also organizing to go and show support or maybe protest in the UK. Now, today is Wednesday, so at 4 o'clock, we'll bring you the glass ceiling. And on the glass ceiling, I want to talk about women's roles in the abuse of house helps. That's our conversation. 4 o'clock. Don't miss it. On Balogun and Broad, let's talk about petrol supply and barbing salons. I have 2 business owners who want to talk to us about issues in those 2 industries. The barber is actually a woman. It's not a very common thing, but we'll have a conversation with her from 5 p.m. and see how that's going. From 6:15, let's continue that conversation that we had yesterday about how our relationship with our family members change after marriage. Does it change? Does it stay the same? You have some people who say, "Oh, I've known my father and mother and sister and brother my whole life. My wife is an outsider. My family members are my real family. So, you know, when I marry her, she has to do things the way we do in my family." And then you have those, of course, who say, "Oh, my brother got married and his wife is the reason he's not close to the family anymore. She has jazzed him." You know, all kinds of stories. So let's talk about all of that from 6:15 after the news. As usual, we'll have updates at the top of every hour. But let's get started with today's big three. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, Lagos. These are your hard facts. Does a state government have any excuse not to remit pensions? Can state governments actually address security without police powers? And is the House of Reps taking sides in the Akweremadu case? And should they? Those are the big three. Lagos, let's talk. Our first story is the civil servant strike in Ogun State. Our listeners who are in Ogun State, I'd love to hear from you on this one. Government workers there accusing the government of various violations, including not paying statutory allowances for 8 years and not remitting their pension for the last 21 months. Pension deductions not been remitted for the last 21 months. They've called a general indefinite strike right now. In Ogun State, all public schools are closed, all state courts are closed, some public hospitals are closed, and more are expected to close very soon. In fact, the Punch is reporting that one of their journalists was beating up when they went to cover a hospital that was closed in Ogun State. They were beaten up by union members who were enforcing the shutdown of all activity in Ogun State. State and local government secretariats are closed as well. Now, the state governor, Dapo Abiodun, says that he wants to meet with the labor unions to address and resolve the problems. On the other side, NLC says before ordering the strike, they reached out to Governor Abiodun several times to raise the problems and to ask for a negotiation, but they didn't receive any response. Before going on the strike, the civil servants issued a 7-day ultimatum through the NLC. There was no response. So now, they're on strike. Governor Abiodun has also claimed that he has been paying salaries, even though money from FAC has been reducing. He said, quote, most of their complaints were inherited from the previous administrations, but as a responsive and responsible government, we are tackling them one after the other, even as we are being hampered by a paucity of funds. The money accruable to us from the Federation account and sundry sources have been dwindling for a long time now, and this is affecting our ability to meet some of our obligations. Even at that, we've been prioritizing the interests of our workforce. End quote. So again, if you live in Ogun State or you work in Ogun State or you're very familiar with the situation in Ogun State, I want you to call us 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. Tell us what's happening there. Is it true that the governor is paying salaries? These old payments, are they from the past, like Governor Abiodun is claiming? But let's also look separately at the issue of pension deductions, because the civil servants seem to be saying that this is a recent thing. And the thing with pension deductions is that they have nothing to do with federal allocation. When it's time to pay salaries, the state deducts the pension payment for each civil servant, and they're supposed to send that money to their pension fund administration through the pension scheme. So whether or not federal allocation is reducing, there are no consigned pension. It shouldn't affect the state government's ability to do that. So that's the first thing. The second thing, the workers are alleging that the government deducts the pension contribution but does not remit it to the pension fund administrators. And if that is true, that is fraud. That is theft. That is corruption. So there has to be an answer for why that is happening. And under normal circumstances, somebody should lose their jobs and go to jail. Will that happen in Ogun State? Again, if you live and work in Ogun, or you just work there, or you just live there, give us your insights about whether these old allowances are from past administrations or whether they are more recent. And what do you think about the NLC calling this general civil servant strike? And what do you think about this non-remittance of the pensions? Women, call us on 01465-7190. Men, call us on 0700-993-993-993. Hello, thanks for calling us. Hello.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Rigmond.
Hi, Rigmond.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. So I actually live in Ogun State.
Okay.
I'm very close to be precise.
Okay.
I'm a student.
Okay.
Yeah. So I really don't know about much about the civil servants workforce. I mean, how they're paid or something.
Okay.
But what I just see from this is, I guess the workers are trying to take their own toll from the shenanigans that is happening with the governor. You know, the governor has been in all sorts of for weeks now. You know, with the issue of corruption, some allegations on him and the likes.
Mm.
So this same thing has happened when I was now in Ekiti State. I was also a student there. You know, so the government then the governor said.
Oh, that's unfortunate. We've lost the connection to that caller. 99.3, hello. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3, hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
Mofe. Mofe from Apapa.
Welcome. Good to have you on the show.
I don't really understand how government will want to say it is not my own problem. It's a former government. I believe we run a continuous government, even if it's a different party, but government is supposed to be continuous. So if you have an issue with the past one, and you think you cannot be able to look for a solution to it, and when do we start seeing things working differently in Nigeria? What does it take for you to deduct money from my salary that you are keeping for me for my pension, and after I've retired, you don't want to pay me back the money?
Mm.
Because definitely I know you don't just keep that money. One way or the other, you use it to run business and the system, and you gain interest on it.
Mm.
And you are not giving me my own money, and you are not even giving me the interest that I've been accrued past time. I don't understand how we do this. This should be an impeachable offense in any part of this world. I don't understand how we run our things in Nigeria. We are doing things as if most of the people in Nigeria are non-educated. Like, we don't understand how things work. Things should not be hard. I don't understand how we are going backward instead of going forward. I don't know. Nigeria, we really need to do something about ourselves and our institution in general. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for calling us from Apapa 99.3. Hello.
Hello.
Good to have you on the show, sir. What's
good
your
afternoon,
name?
Sandra.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
Hello.
Hello. I can hear you.
Can you hear me, Sandra?
Yes, I can. What's your name, sir?
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello, Sandra.
Oh, looks like we're having network issues. Hello. Can you hear me? Okay. All right, then. It looks like we're back to the network problem, to the connection problems that we used to have a few days ago. So I will have the tech team come and take a look at that problem and solve it. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra. This is your Minister for Defense, Achike from Festa.
Achike, welcome.
Sandra, in a country where, in fact, very soon, I hear you just need your Nepal bill to be president. You even omitted one story. What of the one of these Tinubu's running mates that have lost the certificate? So I don't know, the standards of governance is dropping by the day. In fact, very soon, you just need to sharp notes to be president, as in, we don't have standards, it's depression. And there are no consequences. That's the main issue.
Okay, Achike, thanks for calling. Yeah, here's what I will say about certificates and things like that. If you're a young person or an old person, I would advise that you scan your certificates and upload them into the clouds. You know, so for instance, I have Adobe Scan on my phone, and you can download that from your app store. And if you have Adobe, is it Adobe or Adobe? If you have that and you, what's the word I'm looking for now? You scan your documents, they are safe in the clouds of Adobe. Right, so do that so that you don't find yourself in a situation where rats have eaten yours, or bandits have stolen it, or you simply do not know where it is because you went to, you know, primary and secondary and university so long ago, you know. So get it done, you know, put it in the clouds. It stays in the clouds forever. You never know when you're going to need to defend that you went to school. 99.3, hello, thanks for calling us.
Hello,
good to have you on the show. What's your name?
Yeah, this is Timothy.
Timothy, welcome.
I want to say, actually, there's something you missed.
Okay.
Just like the last caller said.
Okay.
He said that he did not include
Because that's not one of my big stories, you know. I don't think that that's a big story, to be honest. We've got Michael on the line. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Sandra. Good morning.
Good evening, my time. Where are you joining us from?
Yeah, I'm calling from Edmonton in Canada.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah, so concerning the pension funds, mm-hmm. So from my experience, when your pension is actually deducted from your gross, you know, and it is basically not taxable,
mm-hmm.
depending on whatever the policy of the government is, they are either match to a percentage, you know, and of course, deposit to the fund administrator. So if the government is not, if they are not remitting those funds to the administrator are also liable. They should be sued as well, because they have a contract between themselves and the customer, which are the government worker, which is, you know, basically not, they're basically different from, and themselves being a government worker. So what I mean by that is, whatever money that the government is, you know, giving the bank or the pension funds on behalf of the employee, they have to be giving the employee like monthly information of how their funds is growing and stuff like that.
Right.
So if the pension funds are not, if they are not really given the information, or the employee don't have access to get information about how their funds, you know, is on monthly basis, then the company or whichever company that is managing the fund also should be prosecuted. This is daylight robbery. It's really sad that Ogun State is going through this. That's my contribution. Good morning.
Michael, thanks for joining us from Canada today. If you just tuned into the show, hello to you. I told you that in Ogun State, the civil servants have gone on strike. Government workers there are accusing the government of various violations, including not paying their allowances for 8 years, not remitting their pension deductions for the last 21 months. So they've called a general indefinite strike. In Ogun State at the moment, all public schools are closed, courts are closed, some public hospitals are closed, more are expected to close very soon. Governor Dapo Abiodun says that he wants to meet with the labor unions, but the labor unions are saying that before they went on strike, they continue to try to reach the governor to try and negotiate, but they received no response. And so now they're on strike. The governor also claimed that he has been paying salaries, even though money from federal allocation has been reducing. He says that the complaints that they're getting from civil servants in Ogun State were inherited from the previous administrations. And they're saying that that they're doing their best to meet their obligations. But then, of course, there's also the matter of pension deductions, because what the civil servants seem to be saying is that this pension deductions matter is a recent something, you know, and pension deductions have nothing to do with federal allocations. When it's time to pay salaries, state deducts pension payment for each civil servant, and they're supposed to send that money to their pension fund administrator. So whether allocation como or you know como, as long as you're paying salaries and you're deducting the pension contribution, because that's what's alleged to be happening here in Ogun State. The deductions are happening, but the remittance is not happening to the PFAs. And if that's the truth, that's fraud happening there. That's theft. It's corruption there. So the why of it has to be known, because under normal circumstances, people should be losing their jobs for that. People should be going to jail for that. So again, I'm asking those of you who live in Ogun State or work in Ogun State, talk to me about, you know, these allowances that the Ogun State current government is saying, oh, these are problems from the previous administrations, you know. And what do you think about NLC calling the general civil servant strike? We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll keep talking. This is Nigeria Info 99.3. Don't go away.
This is an infomercial.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. If you just joined the show, Governor Bello Matawalle says his plan to arm Zamfara people does not break the law. You know the background. Matawalle has asked residents, especially farmers, to arm themselves for defense against terrorists. He also asked the Commissioner of Police to give more firearms permits and instructed the 19 emirates in the state to each apply for more permits. You also know that the CP has said that, he's not going to be able to take orders from Matawalle on this situation. And the Chief of Defense Staff, General Lucky Rabo, has also said that Governor Matawalle should face other policy issues and leave security alone. Now, Matawalle has spoken and he said, quote, "As those entrusted with the safety of lives and property of the people, we will do everything possible to uphold this responsibility within the ambit of the law. We are also aware that the security forces are doing their best to combat this formidable challenge. Their efforts are, however, hampered by the lack of adequate modern warfare equipment and a dearth of personnel. Our decision to mobilize people to secure their communities is therefore for the people to complement the efforts of the conventional security forces in dealing with banditry and fishing out informants. The acquisition and usage of firearms by the public who desire to do so would be governed by the Nigeria Firearms Act," end quote. So Matawalle is saying that soldiers are trying, but their best is simply not good enough right now. They are under-equipped, they are understaffed, and so the people of the state cannot be expected to fold their arms. But he's also insisting that under the Firearms Act, it is legal for his people to arm themselves if they follow the due process. And I want to know whether you agree or disagree with Matawalle's thinking here. Because the Zamfara situation has reignited the debates over whether a state governor is a chief security officer in name only or whether they are really allowed to take meaningful leadership on security. And a former governor has weighed in. Babatunde Rajifashola, Lagos's former governor, he's currently the Minister of Works and Housing. And he says that there is nowhere in the Constitution that security is listed as the responsibility of the federal government or president alone. In the second schedule of the Constitution, where the responsibility of the federal government is set only, you will see responsibility for the police, the armed forces, etc., which are law enforcement agencies, but you will not see the word security. If you take a narrow view of what security entails, you might be tempted to conclude that this is only a federal affair. But if you understand that these agencies, except for the deterrence that they may offer, usually arrive when there is a breach of security. End quote. So I just read to you word for word what Rajifashola said. And I want to hear what you think about that. I want you to help me understand what Fashola is saying there. Because on the one hand, he admits that governors have no power over the police, since the Constitution places policing under the federal government in the exclusive list. But on the other hand, he's saying that policing is only one aspect of security. So here's my question. Is it really possible to assure security if you don't have control over a force to enforce security? Because without the power of policing, the only tools available to a state governor to enable security are things like dialogue and intelligence gathering. And even intelligence gathering is limited because bear in mind that getting search warrants, going undercover, the power of the police covers those things as well. The power of police is not limited to just arrest. It extends to stuff like investigations as well. These things are all integral parts of an effective intelligence gathering operation. But these are all police powers. So any state government or local governments that you see doing these things is actually usurping the police powers of the federal government. So do state governments really have the legal power to handle security in their states? I loved the conversation that we had on today's episode of the Roundtable with the Sunnyside team. Swat Dunia from Abuja was talking about state police quite a bit. What do you think about Matawali's comments? What do you think about Fashola's comments? 0700-993-993-993. You can still talk to me about our first story where we went to Ogun State. Civil servants there are on strike. Government workers are accusing the government of various violations. 99.3, hello. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
I'm Benjamin. I'm calling from Ikeja.
Welcome, Benjamin. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was listening to the analysis so far, but there is I just want to make comment on what Fashola said.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But, Sandra, you see, in as much as he made such comments, we know that in this country, the security apparatus were single-handedly handled by the federal government in all due states. But it's unfortunate that even when we have governors in states and there are such challenges and they cannot withstand insecurity in their states. And now, as a governor or former governor, you are telling us this is what the responsibility of federal government and the governors are not able to handle. That is fat lie. If you are a governor, you have responsibilities to tackle your state if there is insecurity in your state. And in other way around, you don't leave responsibilities of security single-handedly for the federal government. It should be both sides. And why do we have governors? It's unfortunate. And we see that people are, these are governors, they are losing ways, they are losing hands from the system, and they are not working. And thank God that we Nigerians, the young guys, I see most of them in Ikeja and they are getting registered and they are doing the nice thing for this PVC election coming. I just pray that the way the system is going, we young people should know what is right for this country. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. We've got MMR. Is that your name, sir? What's your name, sir?
No, this is Mr. Frank. Now, isn't that what I called?
Okay. Hi, Mr. Frank. Welcome.
The Vice President of FATFA.
Good to have you on the show. Go ahead.
Auntie Sandra.
Sir?
This is not for a matter now. It has been going on for some times now. I have not heard anything from the Mr. President, the Buhari himself. Is he waiting for until when these people will massacre people, now he will send his condolence? Why is he behaving this way? People are dying every day by day. And the governor now, the governor now is confused, telling people to carry arms. If they carry arms, now who is going to collect these arms from them when the time will come? Every other people are bringing their own ideas without knowing what those people are passing through. Even if those people run away from their villages now, to another place, it will take them enough time to come back to their senses. Let everybody come out now. Let the president come out and the chief of staff, let them come out and send police, army, everybody to go and fight for these people now so that there will be peace in this country. Alexandra, thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. We've got Kevin on the line. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Sandra. I greet you.
I greet you, too.
I hate to disagree with our excellent former governor of Lagos State.
Okay.
But I'm a bit confused about his analysis on this issue.
Mm.
Because even though some of us in the non-learned, as they used to say, the lawyers, you know, we know very well, for those of us that have the copy of the Constitution, you know, with us, it's clear that the issue of security is exclusive to the federal government.
Right.
It's very clear in the Constitution that a lot of people have said is a military document. So the state governor has no power over that. You know, that's why I was advising the governor of Zamfara State to explore other means to tackle the issue of insecurity in the state, because he cannot exclusively give instructions to the commissioner of police without the commissioner of police taking instructions from the inspector general of police. That's just the way it is. And earlier today, during this newspaper review with Sheriff, I was a bit upset when the former president was talking about the national cover that happened in 2014. That 600 recommendation that was dumped has a lot of solutions to our problem in this country. but not all this issue of state police, security and everything, that document has almost all the solutions to our problem. But it was, you know, jesting just because I don't know what, you know, whether there's no whip power to do it. So, Mr. Governor of Zamfara State, I implore you to explore other options. It is sad that this is happening, but that's just the way it is. And regarding your first story, you know, earlier today I watched the governor of Benue State giving reasons why he too was not paying salaries. They always have excuses for doing the wrong things. That's what these people are, always having the excuses. If you say you inherited the past, I thought governance was about inheriting liabilities and the assets. So the people of Ogun State, it's not left to you. You have another time for with you there to choose right and to do the needful. The choice is yours. Thank you, Sandra.
Thank you, Kevin, for calling. Colette is on the line. Hi, Colette.
Hello.
Hi, Sandra, thanks for calling.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Carla. I'm calling from Matogu, Ogun State.
Welcome.
This issue of Ogun State civil servants going on all-round strike.
Right.
Look, they are going for this strike too late.
Okay.
I'm sorry I'm going to sound differently and I'm going to sound a bit weird.
Okay.
These civil servants deserve what they are getting.
Okay.
They are all the time drumming support for a governor they know that is not performing.
Okay.
They voted him in massively.
Okay.
They knew his incompetence. Even when he buried his father, he used all the money in Ogun State to bury his father. During the time of lockdown, he was busy with BB Naija. They are still singing and praising him. I'm not pitying them all. All the old and young that is holding a salary or arrears or pension within Ogun State, they deserve what they are getting. They deserve what they are getting. They worked for it. They have gotten it. In Ogun State, there is no road at all. You provide your water, your road, your everything. Every best person in Ogun State runs like a local government. There's complete absence of governance in Ogun State, not just the salary of a civil servant. Ogun State is almost non-existent. Most people living here are working in Lagos.
Wow.
But Ogun State is supposed to be a very big state. We have a factory here, we are running, we are living here, we are working here. Nothing is working here. And they will continue to drum support for him even tomorrow. So, what they voted in, that is what they are receiving. Good luck to them.
All right, Colette, thanks for calling. Now, both chambers of the National Assembly are mobilizing support for Senator Ike Ekweremadu. That's our third story. First, the Senate, of which Ekweremadu is a member, the Red Chamber is sending its Foreign Affairs Committee to the UK to lend him moral support and also to liaise with the authorities there. Senate President Ahmed Lawan said, quote, "The Senate delegation will leave the country in 2 days. All federal government agencies should ensure that justice is done in the Ekweremadu's case. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs should ensure they provide every service that is required for the traveling and the engagement of our committee," end quote. The House of Reps is also rallying around the senator. Speaker Femi Gbajabiamila says that the Green Chamber will apply what he calls legislative diplomacy to make sure the UK authorities give the Ekweremadu's justice. The speaker said, quote, "I have spoken with the Nigerian High Commissioner to the UK, Sharafa Ishola, who has been extremely proactive in this matter, and I express the need for him to continue to avail Senator Ekweremadu with all the necessary assistance that he will need to prove his case. I think this should be heightened as well to the UK Parliament. I would try and get in touch with the Speaker of the Parliament, who I was opportune to meet and had fruitful discussions with just a couple of months ago. I believe the Chairman of the House Committee on Foreign Affairs, Buba Yusuf, should also get in touch with his Foreign Affairs counterpart in the UK Parliament. So it is important that we apply diplomatic pressure. Nigeria has very strong diplomatic ties with the United Kingdom, and all those areas must be explored. I wish the Senator and his family well. We cannot imagine what they are going through at this time," end quote. Here's my first question. Do you believe it's possible that the UK authorities will deny Ekweremadu justice unless the National Assembly puts pressure on them? Now, before we analyze these moves by the National Assembly, I want to read the words of Abdulkader Abdullahi, a House of Reps member, to you. He said these on the floor of the House. He said, quote, "We cannot have a situation where a simple allegation that has not been thoroughly investigated would result in a high-ranking public officer who has served and is still serving the Nigeria public and the Nigerian state, and he has a diplomatic passport. We cannot allow this to happen," end quote. Now, I need to clarify that the UK Metropolitan Police and the prosecution are claiming that there was an investigation before these charges were brought. This doesn't mean that Ekperemadu is guilty or he's innocent, but it is important to fact check Abdullahi and point out that the UK authorities say that they did conduct an investigation which started in May. But I want to draw your attention to something else that Abdullahi said. He said, quote, "If it can happen to somebody of Ekweremadu's status, I wonder what would happen to ordinary Nigerians," end quote. This is actually a very hilarious thing to say, isn't it? Because ordinary Nigerians, as Abdullahi calls them, are getting arrested all over the country, all over the world, every day. So the question becomes, how often does the National Assembly step in to protect the rights of those ordinary Nigerians being prosecuted abroad to make sure they receive justice? Wouldn't it be accurate to say that the only reason NAS is getting involved and sending delegations is because Ekweremadu is not an ordinary Nigerian? It's the same thing we see with unpaid salaries. In all the cases where we hear of unpaid salaries and pensions of civil servants, have you ever heard that state governor no get salary, or commissioner no get salary, or state assembly people no get salary? No. They always take care of themselves first. So another question I have is it in poor taste for the National Assembly to be flexing its muscles to protect one of its members abroad when they are currently not doing that for ordinary Nigerians facing justice abroad? Because remember, they're doing this on your dime. The delegation will fly to the UK on your expense. If you had a choice, would you fly them abroad to show support for Ekweremadu, or should they use that money to do something else? Also, how do you feel about the National Assembly seeming to take sides here? Because remember that the Ekweremadus are being accused of doing something to another Nigerian. Think about it. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk. This is Nigeria Info 99.3.